Welcome to episode 103 of They Think It's All Over, the Football Shirt Show. Hello, everybody. It's Mike on the mic again. We've got AD like gone again, and I've just got Adam here with me. It's a bit lonely.
Where's he gone?
I think he's on holiday or something. You know, probably isn't he like on a all over the Bahamas or Caribbean or something? I know he bought some Mexico shirts. He must be going out that way, isn't he?
I mean, that's generally what we do, isn't it? As collectors, if we're going anywhere, we buy the football shirts for where we're going to take some pictures. And he did get the two current Mexico shirts, home and away. So, yeah.
We could be putting two and two together and getting five there, but it's a suspicion. But talking about shirts, you bought any new ones?
Have I bought any new ones? I have, actually. So I actually bought an older shirt. It's from 2016. It's the Pumas UNAM away shirt, which, if anyone knows this particular design, just Google it, 2016. It's blue, but it has an image from a mural from the Mexican University Library on it. So perfect for me to buy as a librarian.
I was going to say, you bought that because you are what is commonly known as a punk-ass book jockey, right?
I am a punk-ass book jockey. And oddly enough, I got the home shirt a month ago. I've been looking for them in my size for ages. And as is often the way when you're looking for sets of kits, it takes you ages to find one. And then the other one turned up a month later. So yeah, I bought both of them moderately recently. And they are my most recent purchases.
Yeah, I've seen the pair. Seen you sharing the photos on the socials. They do look good. So I actually broke the run I was on of Turkish shirts recently, and I bought the new Norway home shirt, which I think is probably my favourite international release in a long, long time. I would say I can't even remember the last time I liked an international shirt so much that I went and bought it, actually. But it's a good shirt. I love it. I feel like I need to get the away to match now, though.
See, I prefer the home. But I do like the iridescent badge on the away. I think that's really cool.
It is. At one point when I got the home, I thought to myself, oh, I wish they would have put that badge on the home. But then I kind of thought, well, on this podcast, sometimes we say, and this is going to come up again in our feature, that sometimes the home shouldn't be messed with quite so much. So maybe the standard badge on the home was the right idea. But that badge is making me want that away shirt as well. It's good, isn't it?
It is good. I think it suits the away more, though, with the kind of design of it. I think you're right. I think the home suits the standard kind of badge. One thing I do want to bring up, something that I find interesting. We haven't talked about this on the pod yet, but the St. George Cross debacle on the back of the England shirt collar. All I have to say about it is, for a few days, it was everywhere. BBC News, it was on ITV, it made Sky News, people were talking about it. And everyone seems to have forgotten about it. It's almost as if it was a fuss about nothing. Do we think? It's almost as if, I'm not going to mention names or specific names, but let's be subtle. It's almost as if people like Joey B, Nigel F, Loza F, just wanted to create outrage around something to whip people up into a frenzy. And now it's been forgotten about. People aren't talking about it anymore.
I think it's exactly that. Anybody with... I'm scared of like upsetting people that might listen to this podcast, but anybody with a brain can see that it was not offensive. It was not upsetting in any way. Like you say, I refuse to say his name, so I'm going to say his name would rhyme with Snowy Fart On. Should we call him that? You know, people like that, they just know what to do for the socials to get the right people riled up. And I'd be willing to bet that 95% of the people complaining have never bought an England shirt in their life.
But they're still going to boycott it.
They're still going to boycott it. So what, in fact, they're going to do is do the same as they do every year and not buy the England shirt. And what I also will say is, personally, I think just to touch on that as a design feature, I don't actually see the problem from a point of view that I don't believe it was the St. George's Cross. It was a design feature. It was something that was made to look similar to the St. George's Cross. It wasn't the St. George's Cross. If you're really going to get uppity about it, it wasn't the flag. So let's just forget it and move on. Personally, that shirt, by the way, I actually think is one of the best England shirts we've had in a while. It's a really, really good looking home shirt. I think it's got everything an England shirt should have as well. And the away is spectacular.
I agree. I think both shirts are really good. I'm still not entirely sold on the colour of the home. I'm not a huge fan of the construction of it, but I don't think it takes away too much from how good that shirt is. And like you said, the away shirt, for me, it's a perfect away shirt. I think they should alternate between 1 year, it should be more traditional, maybe like red or navy blue or maybe sky blue if they go back to that. And then the next year, try something different. And the color palette, we've not seen that color on an England shirt. We've not seen side panels like that with the kind of crazy design down the side. That has a playful update to the St. George's Cross as well, but people didn't seem as upset about that one for some reason. Maybe because it was on the inside of the collar rather than visible on the outside, I believe. But still, two really strong, solid kits. Nike do sometimes get their criticisms, and I do think that some of the collars they come out with this time round have been strange. But as a duo of kits, really, really strong kits.
Yeah, don't disagree. But right, Adam, I'm going to put you on the spot here. If I had to ask you who you thought were probably at the top of the game at the moment, best manufacturers starting to challenge those big brands, just one of the best around at the moment, never seem to be putting out anything rubbish. Who would you tell me? What brand would you name?
Joma.
No.
That's not what you were going for. I
That's
know what
not,
you were
no.
leading up for. You were leading up to me saying Macron, which we have mentioned many, many times on this podcast. We are huge, huge fans of Macron. Why are you asking me that, though, Mike?
Wow, there is a reason to be fair. So basically, what we're going to do, we're going to move on to our feature now because nobody wants to listen to us babble on about what shirts we bought over the last few weeks. And we were very, very lucky to be joined by Stephanie Wood, who works for Vancouver FC in the CPL. And the reason that we mentioned Macron is because it is to talk about yet another bloody marvelous Macron kit. So enjoy. For today's feature, we are delighted to introduce Stephanie Wood, who is VP of Marketing and Brand Development at Vancouver FC. How are you, Steph?
I'm great, thank you. Really happy to be here. Thanks for having me. How are you guys?
I think we're good. I'm definitely good. Also, Adam's with us. How are you, Adam?
Average to fair. I'm all right. It's nice to be here.
As always, just nice to be involved, eh? So yeah, we've got you on, Steph, because a couple of weeks ago we had Simon from Pacific FC on. But I mean, if we're going to talk kits, apparently you're the person to have on. Is that right?
Always. Like, I'm the only person to have on. Am I allowed to boo Pacific? Sorry,
Well,
Simon.
the
Not
thing
really.
is, when we had Simon on, we told him that the pod is now a Pacific FC fan podcast. But the way this works is whatever team we had on last, they then take priority. So we're now obviously a Vancouver FC
There we
podcast.
go. Look at that. And obviously, we have some common ground. But no, I was with Pacific for 4 seasons, so I secretly, in my heart, do love them, and I've, done their kits for the last few years. So it's something that I do cherish somewhere, but right now they're enemies, they're rivals.
You did have a hand in one of the kits that we spoke about quite in depth with Simon, didn't you?
I did. I'd honestly say more than a hand, but I never shout about it. For their 2022 season, that was the first season we launched the Indigenous kit for them, which was obviously the biggest kit that they've had so far, which is incredible. And I love the fact that they've kept that going now, coming into the 2024 season. I think it's a really important space to be working in and something dear to my heart. So I really appreciate them for, carrying on that.
Yeah, it's a great kit. And within the kit collector community, we're all a bunch of absolute nerds. And that was a very, very popular football kit. But we've spoken about Pacific already. We're not here to talk about them again. So we're going to boo them from now on. Now we've got that out of
Boo,
the way.
boo.
Yeah, so boo.
Down with that kind of thing.
Boo.
So, do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself and how you ended up designing football kits?
Yeah, honestly, I don't know how I ended up designing football kits. I'm not gonna lie. My background came from kind of like fashion, luxury branding. I worked for Breitling, the watch company, the Swiss watch company for many years. I worked for L'Oreal, and kind of like that was my luxury branding background. Really enjoyed that and ended up being dragged into football by Rob Friend, the owner and president of the club and one of the owners of Pacific at the time. And I guess it kind of fell into my remit to design the kits as marketing and branding. For me, the kit sets the team up for the season. It's where we pull all inspiration for marketing, for anything we do in the community. And I really wanted to kind of change that here. I hadn't seen it in the Canadian landscape. where they are using their kit for better. And now I see more teams using it, which is great. Ottawa just did one, which was a give back kit. And I think it's really important to use our platforms where we can. We're not a huge league right now, so any asset that we possibly have to use our platform in this is what we can do. And for me, it was the kit. And that's where obviously the Indigenous kit came from at Pacific, and how we can give back there. And then when I came over to Vancouver, it was kind of like, okay, how can we grow that even more and carry on doing that? Because it works. Not only does it help sales, because everyone wants to give back to these charities and these kind of like strategic partners that we're working with, but they don't always know how to. So we give them that platform to do so. We'll do all the hard work for you, you know, and you just enable us to find money. But for me, I think the fashion world is a real passion project for me. It's something I love. It's me personally. I know everyone always laughs at me when I come in here dressed to the nines, but it's just me. And maybe it's a European thing. Maybe it's an English thing. It's not Canadian, but it's just something that I'm really passionate about. And I wanted to make sure that we have kits that, one, people talk about, and it's a catalyst for the brand recognition. And honestly, like, we can use that to do better and use our platform for a good.
The fact that you come from a fashion background obviously gives you something a little different, maybe from some football shirt designers, because the one thing that we'll notice in football shirts, particularly for people like myself and Adam that have been collecting for as long as we've been alive, really, and we don't want to admit how long that is that it can get a little bit one-dimensional and a little bit repetitive. Now, what we're seeing at the moment, particularly with not even just the Vancouver kits that you've had a hand in yourself and the Pacific FC kits, but the CPL kits, they're all very, very different and they stand out a lot from other leagues. Now, we've got the sort of like the brand sponsorship with Macron, which we on this podcast would say is a brilliant thing. We've had Macron on this podcast and we think they are absolutely fantastic. But I think that that must give you a little bit of a different approach. And I think the kit that we're going to talk about today sums that up really. Do you think that's the case?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I've really enjoyed working with Macron for the last 4 seasons, and they're great to work with. They really want to step outside the box. They really care what the clubs want, and the way that the design process works is clean. Like, you know, we mood board, we work with what we want to do. They send us some designs back, we tweak them. It's really collaborative, and I think that's really important from a kit design partnership. I know other brands out there are kind of like, no, this is the club's strategy for the season. Every club in that league has to have one, you know, and it becomes, like you said, one dimensional. And I think for me as well, the home kit's the home kit. It's always going to be club colors. The away kit for me is something that we can really have fun with. And I come from obviously England, but I'm a Sheffield Wednesday fan. Now, how many different versions of blue and white stripes can you have? And then a plain away kit. My husband's a Sheffield United fan. Yes, we have a split household, but how many red and white striped kits are in his closet? And it's kind of like, oh, I'm bored of this. Like, I'm bored of the mundane. You've got to have your home and away colors, and you know, you can't divert from that. And I'm seeing it a bit more now where other clubs are bringing in maybe a third kit, or an alternate kit that's a training kit or something as a one-off. But I would love to see it more, that the away kit, I guess the alternate kit that we call it, is used in a different way. It doesn't have to be club colors. It's our way to get creative and really sell the brand and what it's truly about outside the, you know, the brand guidelines. So yeah.
Thing is, you say about the home and away shirt and how the home generally has to have kind of strict rules, but your home shirt this season is incredible. You'll explain the kind of idea behind it more, but it really feels you've gone really out of the box with the restriction of having to keep with the club colours. You've still managed to make something which I think really stands out. Can you describe the home kit for our listeners
For
as this
everyone.
is a podcast and maybe the idea behind it before we go on to the amazing away kit?
For sure. I mean, our primary color is black. So for me, I mean, I literally wear all black, monochromatic sort of girl. But for anyone that isn't, it's like, how many black shirts does someone need? Like, how many jerseys do you want to buy that's plain black? How can we change that and keep it fresh every season? So last year's kit we had embossed with all the communities around the Lower Mainland on, and that was a beautiful kit. But then how do we go, okay, I gotta get another black kit now, and it's not just a black t-shirt. So where we drew the inspiration for that, I went kind of catwalk and I was like, what do you see on the catwalk? What do you see in this high fashion? And for me, we were seeing a lot of capes. So a lot of feathered capes, a lot of fur capes on the catwalk. And I was like, how cool would it be if we could remake like a feathered cape on the jersey? So it's really strong over the shoulders and cascades all the way down the back. We went back and forth with Macron. That was really difficult to showcase properly with the fabrics lining up, and I wanted it pressed in rather than sublaminated. And they were just like, Steph, like, we just can't do that. But it was, yeah, it's kind of a way that where we can take inspiration from what we have and make it work. So honestly, I'll be honest, I hated that kit. I hated it. I was like having sleepless nights. I was crying about it. People in the office were like, what's wrong with you? I was like, it's just not what I wanted it to look like. Like what was in my head wasn't in front of me. Our red tone kind of like came through orange on it. And it was like, oh no, it's just not perfect. And I'm a complete perfectionist, so this was driving me insane. When we did the photo shoot with it and we got the eagle in and you see it in that habitat and you see it on the player, like it just looks menacing. And that's exactly what I wanted it to look like. I wanted there to be a juxtaposition between the home and away. And I now absolutely love it. I have people coming in going, oh my God, I think I actually prefer that to the away. And I'm like, hey, blasphemy, absolutely not. Don't say that. But now we've seen it more. Now it's been on bodies. It really is becoming a really, really strong kit to say it was something that I wasn't happy with. And Macron were great. They were like hours and hours working with me on it. But yes, it's got feathered capes across the shoulders, down the short sleeve, and then it ombres down the back. So it starts really prominent and then it tapers off towards the bottom. And the biggest thing for me to have design on the back was you normally see players from the back. The numbers and name are on the back, that you reference them on the back. For a lot of photography is when they're scoring a goal from the back. And we never really design the backs of jerseys. I see a lot of European jerseys on the back where we have, they leave that space for the name and number. Like they can't have it covered. And if you don't have the name and number on it, it's a bit of a weird look. Like we were at an event this weekend and I saw the Leeds kit and it was the yellow and pink one. I was like, oh, it's such a pretty kit. And then the guy turned around and there's just this like salmon beige block to it. And I was like, oh, you need a name and number on it because it doesn't look finished. And I didn't want that. I didn't want it to just be a black t-shirt. I really wanted to have the detail and dimension to it. And I saw the back of the eagle and I was like, how cool would that be if we could really have that jersey be the eagle? So like when the player moves in it, it's like eagles ruffling its feathers. And I think it turned out all right.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I am the opposite to you. I wear exclusively nothing but colors. I can
He's
count
not
on one
lying there.
finger. I can count on one finger the amount of black t-shirts I have, and it's only because I needed one. So from my point of view, I don't normally wear black, but like I said, I generally really like that shirt. What I find interesting as well is the kind of the whole kit design. You're right. I think there's a lot of restrictions in other leagues about having to have that blank space on the back for the name and number. It seems like that's not the case in the CPL. I don't know why it is, because you can still see the name and numbers and it looks much better. Like you said, there's a massive block on the back. That would ruin the design of your home shirt. It
It
just
would.
wouldn't work at all. Whereas actually you've managed to create something which I've never seen before. I've not seen like a feathered cape going all the way back down the shirt. And yeah, I absolutely love it. I think it's brilliant.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate that. It's nice to hear.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of it as well. So before we move on to talking about the kit that we're here to talk about, basically, one thing I just want to ask, I think that you kind of mentioned about how talking about the Sheffield clubs, blue and white stripes, red and white stripes. I am a collector of Fenerbahce shirts, so I know exactly what you mean. There's only so much you can do with stripes, and if you mess around with that too much, the fans are not very happy with it as well. Do you think the fact that Vancouver and the other CPL clubs, because they're so young at the moment, you have that ability to kind of have a little bit more creative freedom, basically? And not only that, you could then stumble across what becomes the club's norm. Because, you know, we all know from kit history that, you know, not all clubs started in stripes, not all clubs started in hoops. So do you think at some point you might hit that home tradition and then that might be what carries on through the years?
I'd hope not. I think for me, like, it's our way to be creative. And I think if you look at every brand, they're constantly evolving. What works now for us might not work in 5 years. And I'm looking really into the future of what Canadian football could be. And I want us to be known for cool kits, you know, things that aren't on the field. I want us to be known for like setting trends. And I think, you know, growing up in a household of people just buying striped kits and kind of going in Sheffield, or you're either blue or you're red and it's striped and it's not, it's nice to see some point of difference. And I think that's where I want to make that change personally. I don't want to be stuck in a rut and stuck in a norm of going, okay, well, it's a black kit every year, you know, or it's a maybe it's charcoal this year, or maybe it's like charcoal and grey hoops or something, just to keep within that. I want to be able to keep on colour spectrum for home because that's our brand identity. But I don't think we have to keep to a one size fits all. And that's when if you start seeing that from me, you know I've lost my creative flair and I don't care anymore.
That's fair. Right, so we need to kind of get on to what we're here to talk about, really. So do you want to tell us the main reason why you're here with us?
I don't know. I was just asked to come and speak to you guys. No.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we are launching our away kit, as everyone calls it. The CPL call it an alternate kit. So that's the ability so we can play in at home and away, and we're not stuck to just playing with it away, which I think is actually quite cool. I'd still forever call it the away kit. Sorry, league. But we are launching our alternate kit this week, and it's pretty special. I don't know if you want me to talk about it now or you have some questions about it, but I'm super excited and I'm sat in it here all giddy.
Yeah, this is the bit that we like, because what we like to do is we like to just sit here and do the easy bit and say that we think the kit looks absolutely brilliant. You are wearing it now. You were kind enough to send us a few images of it beforehand so we could see it as well. And the other guys who record this podcast with us as well absolutely love it. It is an absolute hit all the way through with us.
Oh,
So then,
amazing.
yep, then we're going to hand it over to you so you can tell us about the kit, the design inspiration, and if you want to, you can try and give a little bit of an idea of what people can expect to see.
Yeah, so I think with this one, I wanted to do a give back kit first and foremost. And I was like, how do we do that? What do we do? What's the club's kind of like overarching theme here? It's always, we're a purpose-driven club. It's always been about leaving the world, leaving youth, leaving football in a better place than we found it. So one of the biggest things that we're seeing on the field, off the field, in schools, out of schools, in the workplace is bullying. That can be anything. And we just wanted to kind of like really grasp something this season and run with it and help out, just like we did at Pacific with the Indigenous kit. It was solely for one sector. This is kind of what we're doing now, but this one touches far more people. And I thought, right, how can we also keep it Canadian? And this is everything's going through my head going, what can we do that's Canadian? What can we do that gives back, that obviously isn't Indigenous because Pacific own that space now? We want to give Pacific that space with that. And I've always wanted to do a pink jersey. So I was like, how? It hasn't been done in the Canadian Premier League yet. It hasn't really been done in Canada. Everyone resonates pink with Messi and, you know, Beckham and Miami. And it's kind of like, okay, that's such a brand grab for them that how can we do it, but do our own stamp on it? And then I always go, pink's kind of the same tonal family as red. They sit together in the spectrum. We're not going like I'm doing teal or yellow or green like another club as well, because I'm always really conscious of not pulling in another CPL club's color. Also doesn't help us when we're trying to play them. And I found this story about Pink Shirt Day. Like, I have two kids, one of them's at school. And last year it was like, oh, hey, she needs to wear pink for Pink Shirt Day for anti-bullying. And I was like, okay, great, perfect. Here's your pink t-shirt, off to school. Didn't really think anything of it. And then I was like, hey, what, we could do something here. So I started researching the story of the Pink Shirt Day and I found out it started in Canada. So I was like, well, hang on a minute. This is pretty cool. No one really knows this story. And I don't know if you guys know the story. It's a really simple but nice story. In Nova Scotia, on the other side of Canada, in 2007, a boy went to school in a pink shirt and he was bullied for it. And I was like, oh, a typical. So some, I think, grade 12 students bought 50 shirts. They gave them to the kids in the class. I'm like, no, we're protesting this. Boys can wear pink. Like, we don't bully people. And it was a real like act of kindness that sat with me. And I was like, oh my God, this is a Canadian story. Yes, it's not massive, but look now how big Pink Shirt Day is, just from that one act of kindness. And I was like, what if our platform was the act of kindness? What if we really said, yeah, we stand with you. and that we can now use our platform for this. And I thought, hang on, we're a male football team. If anyone could get away with wearing pink, it's male athletes. And that really shows there that anybody can wear it. And that was kind of where the inspiration came from, how we can work with the pink shirt. And so this becomes like our pink shirt for this season. Our give back kits of $5 from every purchase of the jersey will go to the Pink Shirt Day campaign that's here just down the road in Burnaby, that's kind of helping to kick out bullying from everything that we want in the Lower Mainland. So again, really local, good community builder for us. But as I can't just do a plain pink shirt. Like, this has to be different. It can't be Miami, you know, with just the pink and the black. So how can we pull inspiration from where we live and everything we see in the natural beauty? Because that's where I get a lot of my inspiration from, is where we are in our community. And I was like, okay, well, when do we launch them? We launch them in like March, April time, perfect spring, great. And I was like, oh my God, cherry blossoms literally are the epitome of spring. I lived on a street in Sheffield that the whole street was cherry blossoms, and in spring, it was amazing. Over Easter, they're always here. And I was like, wow. So I started researching the cherry blossoms of Vancouver. And I've been here 10 years now. And I feel that Vancouver cherry blossoms, like, you can't beat them, maybe other than Japan, but like, you literally cannot beat them. They're everywhere. There's 40,000 plus trees. They're lining all the streets, all the parks, all the communities. And I was like, this rallies everybody. People come to Vancouver to go to the Cherry Blossom Festival. It's a massive thing. The Fairmont Hotel does a massive cherry blossom afternoon tea. Like, everyone rallies behind it. And I was like, they're beautiful. Like, how can we now trigger this into a jersey? Because for me, the start of spring, the start of cherry blossom season is the start of the CPL kickoff. So it really tied in really nicely. And I really like what cherry blossoms signify. And I think it was really important for the club. Being in our inaugural season, you know, don't let the coach hear me say this, but like, we were rubbish. Like, we finished second to the bottom. Like, we were not good. Like, I was mortified as a, like, as a football person, but it was what it was. And like, the general significance of cherry blossoms is rebirth, renewal. And I just thought, how great is that when we've just really started this 2024 squad from scratch again? So this is our rebirth year. This is our, that was a practice. This is real life. So I was like, the story behind what the cherry blossom means and what we are really living through as a club just completely gelled, and everything seemed to make sense for me. And I sent my mood board to Macron, and they were like, oh my God, we love this. We've not done this before. This is going to be amazing. And they nailed it for me. Yes, we had some tweaks. We went back and forth, you know, the details around the collar and the sleeves. I wanted to make sure we had the black in there, but also the white. And yeah, it kind of just really, it really came from that.
And from design and mood board to the shirt itself, it's
Yes.
incredible. I cannot wait for everybody to see the shirt, because we, as football shirt geeks, quite frankly, I think we get a good idea of what's going to go down well with
Yeah.
collectors, not just football fans as well. This is the biggest thing, it's collectors as well. And I think
Yeah.
this one's going to be a massive hit. The only other person I showed this shirt to was my wife, because she was sat on the sofa next to me whilst I was emailing to set this up. And her exact words were, not only is the shirt beautiful, but the collar and cuffs are amazing. So she loves that little detail
She
in there,
loves
and
that.
she's
Yeah.
spot on. It looks absolutely amazing. I know that Adam is a big fan as well.
Yeah, I very much want to buy it. I'm not going to pretend that Norwich is in any way, shape, or form like Vancouver or Japan when it comes to cherry blossom. But there is a church just down the road from me that has two massive Japanese cherry blossoms. And every year I take out a Japan shirt and hang it in the tree and take a picture of it, because that's the kind of nerdy rubbish we do. And this year I want to do it with your shirt, because
Oh, there we go.
it's a lovely design. There's been other teams that have done the cherry blossom idea. But without giving too much away, this is quite literal. Cerezo Osaka in Japan, for example, have had pink shirts and they've had kind of graphics on. Whereas
Washington.
this is very much a cherry blossom shirt. It's not like,
No, you're
it's
not going to
not just,
wash this.
exactly.
No.
And that's what I love
Yeah.
about it, because it's kind of got the tonal pink to it, because it's a light pink base, isn't it? It's not a white shirt,
It
it's
is.
light
Yeah.
pink.
Yeah, it is. The Pantone we actually used is Pantone Cherry Blossom. Like, that's literally the name of the Pantone of the jersey.
Perfect.
We wanted it to be really bang on. And yeah, I knew I wanted to do this shit. We do these in advance, like way in advance. Like, we've already just signed off on the 2025 ones for next year. So I'd already signed off on this when DC United dropped theirs. And I was like, oh my God. And I ran to a colleague and I was like, John, DC are doing a cherry blossom kit. Oh my God. Like, what if it looks like ours? And then they dropped it. And I was like, oh, that's cute. We're good. Sorry,
Love
sorry,
that.
Washington. Sorry. But no, but like, I've taken this very literally. Like, I've taken, like I just said, the pink cherry blossom Pantone. I wanted it to be simple, but the petals cascading down the jersey are very specific in meaning that we don't have a lot of time with the cherry blossoms. They come and they go. And for me, that signifies the league. Like, we're here for 6 months. We play 14 home games and then we're gone for a new season. And I just literally wanted that cascading petals falling down the jersey just to signify that as well. And in some places, they're kind of like lighter and some of them are darker. But it really literally is, you could stand under the blossom tree and it look the same, right? Like with them falling. So.
Adam is absolutely counting on that for the photo shoot. He's already done in his head. So, but look, no, honestly, the shirt is incredible. It's a beautiful, beautiful football shirt. What we're going to do with this podcast, we're not going to drop this podcast live until the shirt is out. So by the time people are actually listening to this, hopefully we would have shared pictures that you've kindly
Yeah.
sent us on our socials as well. And everybody would have seen it by the time. So they'll already have an idea of what it looks like whilst
Well,
you're
we'd have already
describing.
sold out then, wouldn't we?
Absolutely, absolutely. So yeah, I look forward to being able to share it on our socials. And on this podcast, sometimes we can be guilty of kind of criticizing some of the garb that comes with designs, because quite frankly, sometimes it just clearly isn't true. But with this, what I love about this is there is obviously genuine reasons for the design, for everything that you've given us, and it is, for me, everything about it is perfect. So I really can't wait to share it.
Oh, thank you.
Before we let you go, I hope you were warned, we do ask every guest a fantasy question. So the question to you is, if you could
Yeah.
pick any player from any era who's played for any team ever, doesn't have to have played for Vancouver FC, doesn't have to have played in the CPL, you can pick anyone in football history to represent that kit, who would you put in it?
There's got to be only one answer to this question. It has to be David Beckham. He's the best dressed, sorry, Rob friend. He's the best dressed owner ever. Like, his playing days were incredible. Like, obviously, I'm English. Like, he's the quintessential, like, three lions on a shirt, you know, came up through the ranks and just love that story. I mean, Jesus, he's drop dead gorgeous. So it would really sell it. And I just want to show him what a real pink jersey looks like.
That's a good answer.
Yeah.
So the one of the guys that is usually on this podcast with us, Scott, he's a David Beckham obsessive, so he'll like that answer. I'm pretty sure there's probably some sort of restraining order against him with Beckham.
Okay.
So yeah, he will definitely approve of that. But great answer. Look, thank you so much for coming on. It was brilliant to get an insight into the kit. We cannot wait to share it. And absolutely, if you want to come back on next year to talk to us about the next kit drop, then we would absolutely have you back. Maybe we'll get you and Simon on at the same time to have a big fight or something, whatever.
Absolutely, that'd be great.
I know I'm back in the
Love that
Sheffield
idea.
glass. I know that.
Yeah,
Oh
me
yeah,
too. No, no
everyone's
offense,
backing
Simon.
me. Sorry,
But
Simon.
thank you very much. And we honestly can't wait to share it and hear some of the feedback about the kit. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate you having me.
That was a lot of fun, wasn't
That was a lot of fun. Steph was brilliant, wasn't she? Just brilliant kits. I like the last two shirts that Vancouver did for the previous season. They're very strong. Google them. I'm not going to describe them on here. You can just look them up. But this season, she goes into detail on both shirts in the feature, and both of them are absolutely stunning for their own reasons. I've never seen a shirt like the home one with a cape of feathers going down the
it?
back, but still maintaining that home identity. And we said this in the feature, I want that away shirt. so much. It's right at the top of my list of next shirts to get. It's brilliant. And yeah, thoroughly enjoyed that feature.
Yeah, it was really good, and you're absolutely spot on. And I know we were predominantly talking about that away kit, but this season Vancouver have got an incredible set of home and alternate kits. I'm going to start using the right term for it.
Primary
and alternate. Yes, yeah. Perfect. Yeah, we're getting it now. But no, that they are an incredible set of kits. We touched on it with that home shirt. It is fantastic to have that feather design go onto the back. We moan about it on this podcast so much about the playing back on a football shirt. And so to do the complete opposite is just absolutely spot on. But this pod will go out once the shirt has been released, that alternate shirt. And it is beautiful. It is as good a shirt as I think I've seen this season. Again, it's testament to how good Macron are at the moment. So when you're pairing up Macron with clearly incredible designers like Steph, you've just got a recipe for absolute perfection. So I think it's going to go down an absolute storm.
And what I liked as well is obviously we talked to Pacific FC before as well, and both of them had really...
Boo. We got to boo them now because now we're Vancouver FC fans.
See, I feel bad now because Simon was lovely. Simon was lovely, but what I really liked is that both of them said how easy Macron were to work with. And it's a real kind of design process. It's been really enlightening seeing that process or hearing about that process and the back and forth and how sometimes it's just a concept that they go with and then Macron flesh it out. And other times it's a more realized concept and Macron go, yeah, this is great. We'll stick this on a shirt for you. It feels like there's a real collaborative thing. And both Simon and Steph mentioned about the community links that both clubs have. And it feels like the CPL, the Canadian Premier League, are really trying to build this sense of community where they understand the importance of football clubs to a community. And I have to say, it feels like we do lose that somewhat in the modern kind of game with the amount of money that's going around. There is this big
Absolutely.
Disconnect. There's a huge disconnect. Whereas it feels like there's a real community ethos behind the kits, whether it's the Indigenous kit of Pacific FC or whether it's the Give Back shirt, the anti-bullying campaign, the Wear Pink Day of Vancouver FC. There's a real community mindedness to it. And I'm really enjoying that. And I hope the CPL continues to grow, but retains that sense of community.
Yeah, not much I can add to that, mate. I completely agree. I think anybody who supports a Premier League club, whether or not you live in that city, can feel somewhat disassociated from the club sometimes because of the way things are, especially with rising costs on things like ticket prices, the shirts that we buy, all of the differences between the authentics and the stadium shirts. Well, that's another thing that we're not seeing with Macron that we absolutely commend all the time because it is just brilliant that the version you buy, at least from what I aware, is the same version that the players wear. It is pretty bloody good. That's good all round again from CPL. Really nice to talk to another CPL club. And I think we're becoming a CPL fan pod.
Maybe we need to tap in and we'll be the British podcast for the CPL.
Now, that was a lot of fun, all of it. Like I say, definitely becoming a CPL fan pod no matter what. Yeah, right. We probably, before we go off on our merry way, we should probably mention our sponsor, really, shouldn't we?
We should, which is, as everyone should hopefully know by now, but we're going to tell you again, Granny's Football Store. That's grannysfootballstore.com. You can also find him on Twitter/X, whatever you want to call it these days, at Granny's Football. And he's just had another massive drop of 150 shirts, hasn't he, Mike?
Yeah, and some of them are pretty good again. Now, as we have already said, this pod will actually be going out to coincide with the release of the Vancouver kit. So get along to his website, grannysfootballstore.com, and you might be lucky. There might be something good left. We do know that his drops do tend to go pretty well and pretty fast. So yeah, hopefully something good left. But did you also see that he did a pop-up event this weekend as well in Sheffield? Looked really, really good.
Yeah, it's a shame that Steph moved all the way to Vancouver as a kit designer. She she could have swung by if she hadn't decided that life in the Steel City wasn't where she wanted to be and moved to Vancouver. So, yeah, I did see that and it looked really good.
It did. We're definitely going to have to start showing up to Granny's pop-ups, aren't we? and just kind of standing around.
I can't do it.
Weird.
I live in Norwich. I can't get anywhere. We don't have a motorway.
That's true.
There's no motorways here.
Is that why Scott flies helicopters?
Yeah.
Because it is.
Yeah.
It all makes sense now. You can only really live in Norwich if you fly a helicopter.
You can only live in Shetland or Norwich or Norfolk if you fly a helicopter. They're his options.
Brilliant. Right. We're almost done, aren't we? Up to anything good this week then, Adam, before we go?
It's back to work, isn't it? The bank holiday is done and dusted, and it's the harsh realization that I have to go back to the library.
I don't. Not to the library, because I don't go to libraries anyway, because nobody reads books anymore. I have got a week off work. Well, a week off. I've had 4 weeks off work because of my gardening leave. But I start my new job next Monday. So this week, I'm actually off to Legoland and I'm going to go to London. So if you're in London and you see a man with beard, long hair and tattoos wearing a football shirt, do not approach him and say hello for two reasons. One, because it might not actually be me, because a lot of people look like that. And secondly, it might be me and I don't want to talk to you because I'm with my family. Okay.
Wow, you're an idiot.
No, of course, I am joking. I know that we're obviously really, really famous from doing this podcast now, and it is hard to walk around places like London and not be recognised. But yeah, if anyone does recognise me, which is unlikely, say hello.
Yeah, look out for a budget Thor in a Norway shirt and it'll be you.
Exactly that. Right, before any more abuse comes out of your mouth, I think we should call it a day, shouldn't we?
I think so.
What do we say again?
I don't know. Where's Scott when you need him?
I know. We need to get that one where he accidentally said it and edit it in again.
And just use it constantly. But anyway,
every week. They think it's all over.
It is now.
Bye.